Ron in Cooks Forest wants to talk about Jared Jones. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Palsy, you know what they say. You can't make the club in the tub, Bob.
What a moment that was, City Limits. Ron from Cooks Forest calling Folsey's show on Saturday. Were you listening live?
I actually had just gotten out of the car to go to the Pirate game, and I missed it. And I saw Folsey tweet it, and I was like, man, he got another.
Ron from Cooks Forest? That's got to be flagged down.
He stumped another. Yeah, I think I'd like to say that I would recognize that.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And this gentleman up right now at the plate, John Parrotto, is on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. How about that, Johnny? Ron from Cooks Forest gets in.
Still trying to quit laughing about that. That's pretty good. Ron from Cooks Forest.
Who would have thunk it?
I know. You know, absolutely. Who would think Ron would be in a forest of all places?
Of all places. He's at the beach. Is it true, Johnny, that there is a nudist colony in Beaver County?
Yeah, you know, that is true. And it's been here for a long, 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 long time. And before you ask, no, I've never been there.
Paul, thoughts on the nudist colony?
I have no thoughts. The one day I heard Ron Cook talking about it, and I just was like, the whole thing to me
is
something.
It's called a nudist resort? What does that mean, Johnny?
Can I just tell you?
They play pickleball there?
Here's the problem.
I have.
Here's the biggest problem with that whole thing, to me, is like when you hear about a nudist resort, you know? Men always have these flights of fantasy like it's all these hot chicks walking around naked. In reality, it's a bunch of old dudes, right? And fat chicks, probably.
Oh, boy.
Nope. A bunch of people you don't want to watch. A bunch of people you don't want to see in the nude. That's why I don't want to talk about it. Am I wrong, Joe?
I can't tell you how glad I am I brought up this subject, Johnny.
I'm just saying. You asked my opinion. You know, I just gave you my opinion. I think that anytime, you know, I've had people say that they've gone to like a nude beach,
yeah,
thinking they were going to see a bunch of hot women, and that's not what they've seen.
No. I've only known two people who've ever told me they were there. And they were both male, and I would not want to see either one of them in the buff.
Mm. All right. Well, let's move on to the Pirates and the trade deadline, shall we, Johnny?
Yes.
Do you think Bob Nutting and Ben Cherington have the stomach to part with top prospects? I was just asking Gormley the Owl about this. Do you think we're going to see a big deal where they get rid of, I don't know, a Bubba Chandler, a Termar Johnson, somebody like that?
I really don't think so. I mean, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. But I just don't think they were going to give up on their top prospects because I think deep down they know that they have, according to Baseball Reference, they have an 8% chance of making the playoffs this year. So unless you trade these guys for somebody that you're going to have for more than just a two-month rental in August and September, I would say no. Now, if they could get another good, younger, controllable player for 3 or 4 years, then maybe they would do it. But as far as going out and getting like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for a year and a couple months, maybe that. But for somebody like Pete Alonso that's eligible for free agency at the end of the year, I can't imagine that.
That's the thing. Like, it's really kind of depressing, John, is that every expert, quote unquote, insider, whatever we're calling, people that cover the team and really have knowledges of the team, they almost all universally say they don't expect the Pirates to part ways with a top five prospect, and many don't think they're even going to part ways with a top 10 prospect. My question is, if you're not going to part ways with one of your top, what are you going to be able to realistically get back? I guess where we come up with the Josh Bells of the world, right?
Yeah, I mean, you'll get a guy like you know, you think back to when they made the playoffs in 13 for the first time in a million years. They made the wild card game. They went out and got Justin Morneau, who didn't work out, and they got Marlon Byrd, who did work out. And, I mean, you know, but those certainly weren't top-tier type players, Paul. They were just good big league players. And, you know, I can see the Pirates doing something like that, but I really would be surprised. I think deep down, if you shot them with truth serum, and I know they've talked about contending this year, and I know the National League's mediocre, and even though they're, you know, don't even have a 500 record, they're still very much in playoff contention. But I think if you made them really tell the truth, I think they don't think they're really a playoff team this year. I think only because the National League is so bad. And I think they feel next year and the year after are really the years when they're ready to strike and make a run at the division.
John Perotto on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Let me go off the board just for a minute, Johnny, before I forget. You've been covering baseball for a long, long time. The passing of Willie Mays last week, where do you put him among the all-time greats, and did you ever have an interaction with him?
I would put him, I still think in my mind Babe Ruth was the greatest player ever, and you can make a case, and I know some people get upset, but Barry Bonds. But when you're talking about all around, nobody did more things better than Willie Mays. I mean, he could hit for average. He could hit for power. He could run. He was, you know, he's a great fielding, great fielder. Just had a good arm. And, you know, I mean, basically, he called pitches for a couple of years when he was with the Giants from center field. He called the pitches. So, I mean, that's what great instincts he had as a ball player, too, and how much he was trusted by Giants management. And the second part of your question, yes, I did meet him once. I was in spring training probably about, I'd say, 10 years ago now, maybe not quite that long. I was in Arizona doing touring some camps there, and Ryan Vogelsong was with the Giants at the time, of course, the former Pirate pitcher. And Willie Mays was sitting at a table with Willie McCovey and Juan Marichal. Mm. You talk about a table. And he's sitting at a table in the clubhouse, and Vogelsong goes, "Did you ever meet Willie Mays?" And I said, "No, Ryan, I haven't." He goes, "I'll introduce you." And I said, "Nah, I don't want you to bother him." No, I said, "I appreciate it, but no." And Ryan insisted. He said, "No." He goes, "I know how much you love baseball and how much you know about baseball history. I really want you to meet him. He's a good guy. He won't be a bother." So we walked over to the table, and Ryan Vogelsong introduced me. And he had the second, Willie Mays, that is, had the second most firmest handshake ever behind Chuck Taylor that I ever had. I thought he broke like three of my fingers. And even at that point, he was in his 80s. I mean, it was quite a grip. And, you know, I just said, "Hi, nice to meet you." And I didn't really want to bother him. So we just exchanged pleasantries for a minute. He wanted to know where I was from. And we probably talked for less than a minute, but it was a real thrill, you know, and I'll admit I was kind of awestruck as I stood there. I'm thinking, like, my God, it's Willie Mays. And, you know, is this really cool? And I'm glad that Ryan Vogelsong really kind of nudged me to go do it, because it's certainly a memory I'll cherish forever.
That's awesome.
Did you ever interview Willie Mays Hayes?
Nigel Morgan was the closest thing to Willie Mays Hayes that I ever knew. Does that count?
What about Willie Mays Aiken?
You may run like Hayes, but you hit like... Right. Anyway, so... obviously, Willie Mays and Barry Bonds have a fascinating relationship. John, sort of back to the Pirates a little bit when we were talking about the kinds of trades that are out there. There's only X amount of teams that are out of it that might be actual real sellers. So if you're the Pirates, I mean, aren't you probably going to have to overpay a little bit more than you want to get some guys? And if that's the case, does it make them more reluctant to make deals?
I mean, it could. You know, it all depends on the market. And like you said, Paul, there's only like five teams you can really point to and say, well, they have no chance at this point. Toronto is getting toward that, becoming the sixth team. But, yeah, I mean, the fewer sellers and the more buyers, it's certainly going to be tougher to acquire these players. And I think that's probably another part of the reason why I don't think the Pirates will make the big splash move, because there's so many other teams, especially the larger market teams, that would be willing to part with their best prospects more than the Pirates would be willing to part with their best prospects. And I think that, too, with being such a small seller's market, I think that works against the Pirates as well.
John Parato on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Johnny, have you spoken with Key Brian Hayes about his situation with the back, about his season? Where do you see this going from here? Because it's been a disaster.
It has. And, you know, I did talk to him a little bit on the last homestand last week. And, you know, Key's a very quiet guy, and he doesn't say a whole lot. He's a really nice kid, but he just isn't real talkative. And he's one of those guys that I think even if he could barely walk, he would not admit that his back's bothering him. And he claims that he told me it's not an issue, that it was an issue for a couple weeks, but after he came off the IL, everything was fine. I don't know if he's totally leveling with me. I think, I'm not saying the kid's a liar. I think he just doesn't want to look like he's making excuses. And there's got to be something going on there. And, you know, I've been concerned about this for the last few years because, you know, we've all known people who had back problems, and they just don't magically go away usually. A lot of times they're chronic and they're persistent. And I really wonder, I've got to believe that that's what's holding me back, you know, what's holding his average down and his power, because, you know, I can't imagine, as good as he was in the second half of last season, is as bad as he has been the first half of this year. And to me, it has to be some kind of issue, and it would logically seem to be the back.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And if he's got a back issue, they've got a problem, because they owe him a lot of money over the next X amount of years, which is not ideal. You know, John, it looks like they moved Jared Jones' start back and not Skeens' start. Did you find that interesting? And the other thing was they didn't really – Bailey Falter was talking a little bit about how he was exhausted. I kind of thought they were going to, you know, maybe push Skeens back into the homestand, but they didn't. Were you surprised by that?
A little bit. But, you know, Jones is up to 86 innings already, and he's got a few more. Skeens of 73 when you count the majors and the minors. But I would suspect they're going to give Skeens a long break around the All-Star break. That would be my guess. You know, maybe go 9 or 10 days without pitching. But, I kind of thought, I think with Jones, he's probably pitched a little bit more than they thought he was going to. I think they thought he'd have a few shorter starts. But if you look, a lot of times he's gone 6 and 7 innings. He went 7 innings last Saturday when he beat the Rays at the PNC Park. So I think they're trying to be cautious. And, they don't want to shut these guys down for like a month and say, okay, take a month off and then ramp back up and pitch again. So I think they're going to try to get as creative as they can. And this is one way they can do it, especially with Martin Perez coming back into the starting rotation. But I think both of them are going to get some extended rest from here and there, maybe go skip a start or get a couple of extra days between starts, because the Pirates really want them to pitch a full season. And it's kind of like a tightrope where you want them to pitch a full year, but you also don't want them to pitch like 190 or 200 innings. And you really have to balance that. And it's a hard thing to do. And the Pirates are, you know, they really messed it up with Roansy Contreras 2 years ago. And I think they're trying to do better to get it right this time.
Talking to John Parato here on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Johnny, the thought has struck me that at this point, it feels like the Pirates are doing a disservice to Jack Sawinski by keeping him in the majors. Like, he just looks like someone whose confidence might be damaged beyond repair. Would you send him to the minors or keep him here and try and work things out?
I'm with you, Joe. I don't see what he's gaining by being in the big leagues right now. I mean, if he were just hitting into some tough luck or, you know, or just struggling for a week or two, I'd say, well, you know, it's okay. You can have him work his problems out in the big leagues, but he needs a shot of confidence and he needs to start producing is the bottom line. And I just don't see that. I don't see any major signs of him turning things around anytime soon. And when that's the case, I think you've got to send him back down to Indy and, you know, keep him there for a while. They did send him out, about a month ago, but he was only there like a week or something. It wasn't, if it was more than a week, it wasn't much more than a week. And I don't know. I think he needs an extended stay down there and really work out his problems because it's hard for a young player, and he's still a young player, to try to get on track when you're playing in the big leagues against big league pitching night in and night out.
What's interesting is just on that subject, you know, we had Derek Shelton a couple of days was talking about how it's difficult to get guys a real look at what's going on in the majors because minor league pitching, the gap between minor league pitching and major league pitching has never been greater. And that basically anybody with reasonable velocity is pushed through to the majors quickly. So,
yeah
I mean, have you seen that? Have you seen that there's a much bigger a gap? And is that part of what's hard, what's made it hard to get guys ready when they're in the minors to get them ready to play in the majors?
I know Derek Shelton's continued to say that, and I certainly defer to him. He would know better than I, as sitting in the dugout seeing these pitchers up close. I tend to think that there is certainly a gap. I'm not ready to say it's bigger than ever between AAA and the big leagues. I still think there's some pretty decent pitching in AAA. And, you know, you get out into AAA and you're facing, you know, anymore, a lot of guys in AAA have had some time in the big leagues. And so you are facing guys who at least have big league experience. And, you know, I just don't see what Jackson Winski's gaining by a big 0-for-4 and striking out a couple of times every night in the big leagues. And like Joe said, I just see his confidence waning. And, you know, even if he is facing inferior pitching, if he hits 300, it certainly would help his mental outlook a little bit, I would think, to have some success, even if it is at the minor league level.
Paul, look up at that monitor. It's Ben Cherington in a Steelers shirt getting interviewed.
Yes.
On the show here. Maybe he could trade for Brandon Ayuk at some point, Johnny, huh?
Maybe. Maybe he could trade let's see, who could he trade? Who would they have to give up? Maybe Jack Swinski could be part of the package.
Maybe
Swinski. He's a good football player. Maybe. Yeah.
Paul, may I engage Johnny in a game of free association?
Absolutely.
All right.
Ron in Cooks Forest wants to talk about Jared Jones.
Here we
hey,
go,
Ron.
Johnny. Are you ready?
I can't quit laughing.
Ron in Cooks Forest. I mean, if you would have asked me, I would have said there's a 1% chance I'm getting through onto the show. And they let me right through. You want to come in? Anybody in? Like I told Jolene.
Oh, I dropped the bear this morning.
I told Jolie Nelson he'd make a horrible bouncer. I mean, you'd have 11-year-olds saddling up to the bar. I mean,
Ron
come on.
In Cooks Forest wants to talk about Jared Jones.
They'll hey, let
Ron.
Anybody in, Johnny. You ready? Here we go. One word answers if you want. If you want to go as low as one word.
Okay.
Andy Rodriguez is the long-term catcher here.
Yes.
Rowdy will leave Pittsburgh as a beloved figure.
Yes.
Luis Ortiz will wind up in the rotation.
Yes. Yes.
Gonzalez or Perez, who has a bigger impact on the rest of the season?
I'm going to say Gonzalez.
The Bednar injury is a big deal, small deal, no deal.
Medium deal.
Majinski and Borecki will both have a big impact on the second half.
Yes.
You still believe Termar Johnson will be a star someday, if you ever did?
Yes.
Mitch Keller is going to win 20 games.
No.
Rowdy will hit at least 17 homers.
No.
Cruz will hit at least 25.
Yes.
Who's going to rep the Pirates at the All-Star game?
I'm going to say Paul Skenes.
As the only one?
Well, it depends. If they may get Keller may make it, and Jared Jones may make it, too. And, you know, you can make a pretty good case for Colin Holderman, whose ERA is 1.3. They usually, you know, they've been more open to taking setup guys in the All-Star game than they have in years past. So I mean, they do have some guys. Brian Reynolds have a legitimate case to be there. So, but I do think they'll try to find a way to put Skenes on the roster somehow.
Percent chance that Skenes is the starter for the National League?
Zero.
Zero?
Yes.
What was I just going to ask you, John? Oh, Brian Reynolds leads all NL outfielders in total bases, and he's second in OPS. Does he have a real chance to get there?
Yes. Yes.
Luis Robert or Vladimir Guerrero on your wish list? Who'd you rather have?
Luis Robert.
Ooh. Can you explain that in a sentence?
Because he has 3 years of control, and they have two clubs. He has one more year on his contract after this year guaranteed, and then two options where Vlad Jr. Becomes free agent at the end of next season. And I think they need to trade for somebody for long term, and I think Luis Robert would be really, really a good fit here in Pittsburgh.
Any other name on your wish list, Johnny?
Nobody really stands out. I kind of like Jesus Sanchez, the right fielder of the Marlins. I like the fact he's a left-handed hitter, and they could use, in my mind, another left-handed bat, especially playing in PNC Park. He hasn't quite lived up to his reputation yet, and he's 25, and maybe you buy him low from the Marlins and get a high payoff for him, because he is a talented guy. He hasn't put up the numbers that the Marlins were hoping, but he is still young enough to where you could feel maybe a change of scenery would do him good.
Ron in Cooks Forest wants to talk about Jared Jones.
There's a name on your wish list. Would you make this trade?
I don't know, Pally.
Davis, Ortiz, and Burroughs. Henry Davis, Luis Ortiz, Mike Burroughs for Chisholm and Tanner Scott from the Marlins. Yes or no?
Yeah, I'd make it. I don't think the Marlins would, but I would. Yeah.
Destiny's Child tells us that Braxton Ashcraft will impact a major league team this year. Do you agree? Yes or no?
Yeah. Yes.
Pirates will make the playoffs.
No.
Pirates will win 82 games.
No.
Pirates will win 81 games.
No.
Derek Shelton will still be the manager and Ben Cherington still the GM at the beginning of next season.
Yes.
Paul, did you enjoy that version?
It's always good. Always good.
Anything you want to leave Johnny with?
No, I don't think so. We have that drop we could play for Johnny.
Yeah, right? He likes that.
John likes this drop. Where is it at? He's over here sleeping, Austin.
Limits.
Come on,
it's
City Limits.
It's too late.
It's not over here.
It's too late.
Come on,
it's too late
over here
now to
searching.
Run it.
I thought it was at your
fingertips the whole
ahead,
time.
Hit it. Jason Bay, all-star.
There we go.
All right.
Sometimes you got to search for him.
Ron from Cook Forest voted for Jason Bay. I know that.
That's right.
Thank you, Johnny. You're a hell of a... Why wasn't Johnny on TV today? Why isn't he on the screen?
I couldn't. I'm away from my computer, so I didn't want to put my big face on FaceTime. So,
all right, Johnny.
So next week, we'll get back to it.
That was great stuff. We appreciate the time.
All right. You're welcome.
See you, buddy. John Parrotto right there. Paul, we have a quiz show coming up at the top of the hour. Are you excited about that?
Absolutely.
One thing we didn't do was, well, there were a couple things Johnny said there. You know what? I'm going to ask you some of those questions I asked him at the end. when we come back. Will Rowdy leave here as a beloved figure? He said yes. He said the Bednar injury, he didn't say it was a small deal. He said a medium deal. He said that Keller won't win 20. Do we think he will, etc.? I'm going to ask you some of those questions coming up.
Okay, sounds good.
Next. Well, that was a rousing rendition of Free Association with one Jonathan Parada. He's a legend. He really is.
He's been around forever.
It's amazing. Paul,
I can remember reading his stuff even before, like, I got it, like when I was at Point Park or when I was younger. You know what I mean?
Like 40 years,
yeah,
literally.
He's been around. He's been, you know, it's so funny. I mean, he's the last. There's a few still around. You know, Mike White is one of them. Jerry Dulac has been around a long time, and I don't even think he's been. I mean, Mike White started at the Post Gazette in 1978. Think about that.
What?
Yes, he started in 1978 as a part time like high school stringer type, and became full time like 1980. So he's been covering high school sports literally for 40 years, something like that. What is that? I don't even know how. What is that? This is. I
mean, more than 40.
Whatever. What I'm saying is,
right?
Parado is one. I mean, yeah. Cook obviously just retired.
Yeah.
You know, Gene Collier is still, you know, around, but I don't even know if he's like somebody that went through the whole 80s or went through the 80s, is he?
I know he was a Phillies beat writer for a while in Philly. I know he was here ever since I got here in November of 89, and I was reading Smizek, Cook, Collier, and Kiden.
And Kiden?
Yep.
God rest his soul.
He seems like he would have been a man that you would have had fun hanging out with.
So here's the thing. Yeah, I really liked Bruce Kiden. He was also one of the most brilliant newspaper men and writers that I've ever been around.
And he was into the card game
right?
Right.
But I tell you what, he was a stickler. Like, you know, for when he was the editor, boy, he was a stickler. But that's because he really, really, really loved the craft. And, you know, it was like holy to him to write stories.
You know who else was? Our old editor, Brent Spanton. You remember him?
Yeah.
The great Brentini.
Yeah, Brent.
Him and his wife used to work at the Valley News Dispatch. Yeah. My first full-time job.
Brent was great.
I didn't get till I was 29. Yeah. I used to lay out the sports pages for the Valley News on a giant Macintosh computer. So I would lay it out. They would print it, and his wife would mark it all up in red ink, all my mistakes. It was incredible.
He was really good. He retired, too.
Yeah.
That's why I said, like, a lot of the, you know, and then remember when you had I'm gonna give you a quote of a former boss of yours, and you can tell me who it is.
Yeah,
Joe, I would classify this story as an air sandwich, good on the outside and good on the start, good at the end, but not a whole lot in the middle.
Steve Hecht,
Justice Hill.
Oh my God!
Remember him, Justice B. Hill.
Justice B. Hill. I was the Penguins beat writer. I told him at the beginning of a season, I gave him my entire travel schedule, which included the All-Star game in Florida. So I get to the All-Star game in Florida. I call back with a story idea, and he says, "What are you doing there? Why are you there?" I said, "Because I cover the Penguins, and I'm at the NHL All-Star game. Like I said, at the beginning of the year. What do you mean, what am I doing here?" And he says, "I want a Yager takeout story." I'm like, all right. I mean, it's not like I'm going to get a one-on-one. He doesn't even talk to me anyway. But even if he did, I'm not getting a one-on-one. Oh, man, is that a blast from the past.
Yeah. Paul, so did you get it?
No. Hell no. Paul, we were wondering why we looked at you during the break. You were wearing your hat like Fernando Rodney. Sideways.
Crooked hat guy.
Yeah, I like that look.
Crooked hat guy.
Any particular reason? Or
no,
was it
I mean,
just
if you notice,
chance?
I took it off.
Yeah.
It was just getting hot. The first step is you kind of just move it off your head. So, you know, your front of your head doesn't, you know, get that film of sweat.
You look great. Didn't he look great, Limits?
Yeah, Fernando Rodney is the first thing that came to my mind when I saw
crooked
him.
Crooked hat guy.
It's a good look for him.
Are there any crooked hat guys in the league right now?
Anybody left?
I don't think so.
No?
He's got to point up to the sky and give the, what did Fernando Rodney do, like the arrow?
Yes.
Remember when he pointed to the sky?
Oh, was that great. Let me ask you guys both some of the questions I asked Johnny at the end. Is Endy Rodriguez the long-term catcher in this organization?
I think yes. I think he has to be.
Yeah, I think he is.
And are you excited at that prospect? I am, and I don't think we talk enough about what a devastating blow that was to the Pirates. I really, really like that kid. He was good defensively last year. I think he was injured. I think he's going to be really good offensively, too. He had moved ahead of Henry Davis in most prospect rankings, right, incidentally.
I think he has a chance to be really good. I would agree. Absolutely.
He's a spark plug type of guy, like big energy.
Yeah, I love that.
Exciting.
Too.
Yes. Also versatile. He's played other positions like second, first in the outfield. So if Henry Davis does figure it out at catcher or they move off from whatever it might be, put him in a different position, Davis or Rodriguez has that flexibility to do whatever and also a decent bat. Didn't hit well when he came up, but still, I'm a switch
still
hitter too.
Yeah.
I think he'll hit. Former Pirates minor league player of the year. Good player.
Yeah, I'm excited for his future, and man, that was a crushing blow, like a shocking development in the offseason, that not only was he hurt, he's gone for the whole year.
It makes you wonder, why are these guys playing winter ball?
It does make you wonder that.
Does Endy Rodriguez really need these extra at-bats? Like, O'Neill Cruz, I understand, coming off an injury, but Rodriguez did not need to be playing in winter ball.
Yeah. Rowdy will leave here as a beloved figure. Johnny said yes, Paul.
I could see that. I mean, I think, honestly, you know, I think if he has a decent year and, you know, hits some home runs and continues to sort of get key hits and whatnot, yeah, I mean, you know, he's got that big, burly look, you know. That
he can be a jolly man when he wants.
He's the guy that people, you know, he's the profile of the guy that people likes or people love to, you know, create like a folk hero out of. So, yes.
And we're efforting him for the show tomorrow, aren't we,
Yes,
Limits?
We are. We put a request in to try to get him for tomorrow's show. And I don't know about if he's going to be a folk hero, but I think there will definitely be a lot more complimentary things to say about Rowdy Tellez than the detriment that we saw the first couple of months.
He's having a comeback here.
I'll be sad if you get him because I won't be here. I won't even get a chance to talk to him.
What if we played the clip of Paul calling him a singles hitter?
I don't think that would go over. Or me calling him the potential biggest disappointment at the very beginning of the season.
I think Rowdy, in the end, gets it. I think he does get it. And I think, for the most part...
That would be a pretty funny bit, though.
That would be great.
If you said, hey, you know, by the way, yesterday, two days ago... My partner said, you know, oh, wonderful, because you singled in the first inning. My partner suggested you had become a singles hitter and not a power hitter anymore, and then you showed him by hitting a home run.
See, I think with Rowdy, and I'm not around the locker room anymore, but my gut tells me that Rowdy could go one of two ways in any interview, become very irritated and short and clipped, or buy into it and be fun. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think it would go hard in one direction or the other. You agree with that?
Yeah, I could see it. Seems like that type of person.
How do you think he reacts if he does come on tomorrow and I say, Rowdy, my partner's not here today, but he did leave us with this the other day. We play Paul yelling that he's a singles hitter and then play the clip of a home run.
I think he'd scoff at it and then say, oh, prove Jim wrong, something like that.
Let's try it, shall we? Nah, maybe not.
No, it's not.
Probably not. Let's not do that.
Luis Ortiz is one of the low-key best stories of this season.
Absolutely.
He was great yesterday. What are his numbers right now? Let me ask you what I asked Johnny. He winds up in the rotation. Parado said yes. Paul, what say you?
I saw somebody actually comparing his numbers to Jared Jones, and they are very, very close.
He's got a 3.23 ERA in 53 innings this season. He's 4-2.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have Luis Ortiz in the rotation.
Maybe if Bailey Falter continues to slide a little bit, or if you have an opening by injury, something like that.
Put Bailey Falter in the bullpen.
Yeah.
At the start of the year,
if it comes to that,
we were talking about how one of Luis Ortiz, Rowanzi Contreras, or Quinn Priester was just kind of bound to figure it out, given the probability that one out of three is probably going to hit.
Yeah.
It's good to see who the Ortiz is with the other two struggling.
He's been really important for them. The Bednar injury, Paul, I said, is this a big deal, small deal, or no deal? And Johnny came up with his own category and said medium deal, this oblique injury.
Yeah. Well, again, it's a kind of injury that can linger.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of injury for a pitcher that's a power pitcher can be, you know, it can really take away from, you know, what he does well. So I would say, yeah.
I'm still going to go small deal, not being a doctor, of course, but they do have time and they have options as far as other guys that I believe could close games for them. They have two, actually, in Holderman and Chapman. And I think the time factor is the All-Star break's coming up. I think they'll be okay here, and I think he'll be fine. And, man, was he good in the month of June. He looked like David Bednar. Limits, thoughts on that one?
Small deal. I mean, Bednar in the first couple months, he's given up more runs this season than he did in the last 3 years, and we're only in June. When he's healthy, I'm not concerned at all about him. Best closer, one of the best closers in baseball.
He's only given up one earned run in his last, I think, 14 appearances. I mean, he's been great. He's 6-for-6 on his last six save opportunities, 7-for-7, actually. Maybe even more than that.
Yeah.
Maybe even more than that, because we have to go back a long time to his last blown save. And in June, he had 7 strikeouts, 1 walk, and a 2.25 ERA. So let's hope, for the Pirates' sake, man, you put him, keep him in the back end, then you have your setup guys, and you're going to have a much better middle relief and long relief, potentially, with actual starters back there. A guy like Perez, who know, or Gonzalez. Perez was in the bullpen for Texas when they made their run last. Maybe Priester's a guy. You have Majinski. You have Borecki coming back, who I think is really talented. Nicklaus starting to pitch better. I think the bullpen's going to be really, really good in the second half, and that would be a major difference, right?
Well, I mean, honestly, it seems like if they get all their arms healthy, they're going to have an embarrassment of riches.
Could be.
And if they do, that goes back to our other discussion earlier today, which is you can part ways with a few of these guys to make your lineup better.
For sure.
Which means you'd have to trade a guy like a Priester or an Ortiz, because, I mean, nobody's going to take Marco Gonzalez or
Perez
or anything.
Throw one of these younger guys in as a sweetener. And everybody's looking for bullpen help. Sure, people would love Borecki or Majinski too, by the way. Chapman is a guy you could still flip, incidentally.
Yeah, but you wouldn't flip those guys if you're in the Rays.
You might. Like he said, you've been about, like, what are the roles for all these people?
Well, Chapman's a high leverage reliever that can pitch the the seventh, eighth, and he's pitching the ninth right now. You're not going to get rid of that.
Well, you might. If you have Holderman and Bednar and Majinski and Borecki and everybody else, you might. I'm just, they have options, I think.
There's options. Limitless. I don't think they'll go in that direction.
Limitless wonder. Keller's going to win 20 games. Johnny said no. I guess I'm going to say no, too, but I think he's gonna be up there. I think he'll get around 18. Paul?
Keller
is
going to win 21 games.
Ooh. How many guys won 20 last year? I'll look that up while you give your answer.
I just think I think he's a guy that has almost become, every night he goes out, you almost can guarantee he's going to go 5 or 6 innings and leave the mound with the Pirates having a chance to win.
One guy in all the majors won 20 last year.
Wow.
It was Spencer Strider.
That's
and
it?
Now, of course, he's
That's
hurt.
It.
One guy, and the next highest was 17. Like, this is an extreme rarity. The year before, one guy, Kyle Wright, won 21. 2021.
You know what that speaks to, though?
One guy. Urias from the Dodgers.
That speaks to volumes about innings stuff, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, for sure.
The monitoring of innings and all that other stuff and skipping starts and, you know, all that.
Analytics that tell you the third time through is a bad thing. Do you guys know when the last time there were as many as 3 20-game winners in the majors? And either of you, the last time there was three 20-game majors.
2005.
Winners. Wrong. Paul? Rick Porcello.
Hold up. I'm trying to think of a year here. I'll say 2009, actually.
2016.
16. Wow.
Porcello. Jay Happ, who was 20-4.
Should have never got rid of him.
And Max Scherzer. The last time there was four 20-game winners, I don't know, we might have to go back, you know, decades. That's incredible to me. So the fact that Keller's sitting here on 9 wins is pretty remarkable. How many starts before the All-Star break? 3 more?
A couple more, yeah. How about what's happened since for those 20-game winners? Spencer Strider, the arm injury, who had 20 wins in 2023.
Yeah.
2022 was Kyle Wright. He's now pitching after he was traded from Atlanta to the Royals. He's got an ERA of about 6. And in 2021, Julio Urias, all the off-the-field stuff with him.
Wild.
It hasn't been good for 20-game winners recently.
No, it hasn't. I guess it's the 20-game curse. I presented to John the fact that Destiny's Child told us that Braxton Ashcraft will impact the Major League team this year. He said yes. Andrew Destin of the Post-Gazette's becoming a – even Shelty agreed with that, Paul.
I would think –
Unless you trade him?
Maybe, but I don't think they're going to trade him. I would think that would, but again, I keep coming back to this. If all these guys get healthy, you can't, there's just not enough spots for all these guys.
Yeah.
So, yes, okay, let's add him to the mix. I mean, where at what point are you going to have to say, listen, we have an embarrassment of riches here, and even though it's like, well, you can't ever have enough pitching, if you have four or five guys that you can't even get into the major league roster or whatever because you're loaded for bear, I mean, isn't that the poster child for the argument to go ahead and trade some of it?
Yes. Even the horrible trade, the Archer trade, you had Glasnow and you had Shane Baz. Shane Baz has never panned out. Why?
No.
Because like so many other young power pitchers, he got hurt. And so did Glasnow. Now, he might start the All-Star game this year, but if you look at his career, I think he's had one full season in the majors. One. So you traded those two guys and it didn't turn out well, but it's not like they've both gone on to win, you know, 100 games. Tyler Glasnow has won 38 major league games in 9 years. That's 4 per season, limitless wonder.
Yeah, that's not good. And obviously, it's just continued to be heightened because of how bad Archer was. But it really was a deal that, obviously, the Pirates lost, but was not as lopsided as many thought it was at the time.
So they have so many of these guys, so many of these, you know, lottery tickets or maybe just scratch-off tickets. Are they the same thing, Paul? What's the smaller version of the lottery?
Well, the lotteries are the one that you buy.
The daily double? What's the littler
one? Well, the scratch-off tickets are the ones that you instantly can win.
Do you buy those? Do you try to win the lottery?
No.
Limits, do you or does any member of your family buy those?
No.
Every so often, if the Powerball or whatever gets to, like, $1 billion or something silly, I might throw a few dollars on it. But for the most part, to me...
What's your first move if you win $1 billion? You'd move to Aruba, wouldn't you?
Of course. My first move would be I move to Aruba. I buy a place that I need, a boat that I need. I join the country club. I invest enough of it so that I never have to work another day or worry about money. And then I give the rest of it away.
Limits, you win the Powerball. What do you do with it?
I'd try to take a trip to Hawaii. I'd visit all the baseball parks. I'd save a ton of it, and I'd pay off a lot of debts and loans in my family.
Right. I mean, I would take care of my family.
I'd take care of everybody.
And you'd build one hell of a wiffle ball stadium, wouldn't
oh,
you?
Oh, the stadium would be built.
Patterned
in,
after
a,
which
in a week.
But after Fenway?
Probably after Fenway or PNC, yeah.
But honestly, if I got $1 billion, right? Say they dropped $1 billion into your bank account tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, for what I would need, I probably would only need like 50 million of it to be comfortable for the rest of my life, never have to work. Then it would probably be another 50 million to take care of my family.
Yeah.
Now, I got $900 million.
Well, dude, that's assuming there's no taxes.
$400 after taxes.
I'm saying if they put $1 billion in your bank account, so your taxes are already paid. So now you got $900 million. I mean, I would give about $890 million of it to charity. Like, give it to, you know, various charities.
Yeah, yeah.
And different,
I
mean,
of course.
What am I going to do with it? I'm not somebody like, I love when I have these conversations and guys are like, oh, I buy like this 50 cars and this, and I don't need all that. Just a nice boat with a, you know, I can go out onto the ocean, a nice house that's got a
What's the
ocean
nicest
view?
Place in the world? What's the nicest place in the world?
I don't know.
You ever see the, what are they called? The Maldives?
Do they have
golf
courses there?
Those islands?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I want a place where it's nice every day.
Well, Aruba, weather-wise, Aruba is perfect.
Okay, Aruba. So I buy a nice house there and one other house in another place where I can golf, where I can travel back and forth with my own plane, by the way.
San Diego is pretty nice.
Okay.
The weather's always great there.
I'd love that.
But the ocean's cold.
Is it?
You know, a lot of the year, yeah. The Pacific Ocean is really cold. The Aruba, the water's perfect. It's literally between like 82 and 90 every single day and sunny. If the rainy season, it rains for about 10 minutes in the morning, and that's it. That's the rainy season. There's no hurricanes there. The weather is perfect in Aruba.
Budget Air says these are the nicest places on earth, the most beautiful places in the world. Ha Long Bay in Vietnam, the Colosseum in Italy. Now, these are just like, these aren't places to live.
Right.
The pyramids?
You want to live at the pyramids, Joe?
No. Can you imagine living in one of those limits? You'd have a hell of a wiffle ball stadium outside of that place.
I can't imagine. Like, how are those how do they work architecturally, like, inside the pyramids? Like, have you ever seen
have you
the
ever
picture
been there,
of
Paul?
Inside the pyramids?
I've seen pictures. I've never been there, no.
Where are the nicest places to live in the whole world? That's what I want to know. And that's where I would be, in two of them. I'd have a house in each one of them.
Wait, by the way, did you see this yesterday? Joe,
what happened?
This thing with Japan beat the United States in football? What in the world was this about?
Under 20 American football.
It was under 20 American football. I got to get more, but it was like they beat them like 41-20 or something.
Apparently nobody played. That was around the score. Yeah, it was bad by like 20 points.
They blew them out. They're up 26-0 here. Well, how in the world does a football team of people from here not beat every other team in the world if they're all the same age?
They've been practicing, apparently.
Nobody got an AL to play in the deal, in the game.
Right, I'm just saying, you know, that's one of the things about, if people say, well, why isn't football an Olympic sport? Because it'd be stupid. That's why. But this game that happened yesterday, let's see. I'm just trying to figure out.
Was Duck Hodges our quarterback?
It's international, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I'm going to read. I got to figure out. When I saw that last night, I said, that has to be a joke, right? That didn't really happen. But it turns out it happened.
Yeah, I'm looking at the highlights right now. The places with the world's best climate, Panama, Costa Rica, Mexico, Ecuador, Colombia, and Portugal.
Yeah, I heard Costa Rica's weather is always pretty nice.
Have you ever been there?
I have not, but when I was in high school, a group that was in like the Spanish class took a trip to Costa Rica there for like 2 weeks, and it like did not rain at all. It was very nice and like 75 degrees.
Would you live in Switzerland city limits?
Probably not. There's only a couple of places that I think I'd want to live in all of like America. It would be Pittsburgh, Geneva on the lake, L.A., or Hawaii.
I've been to Osaka, Japan. That's 11th on this list. Place is unbelievable. I had sweet potato custard there. You go up to the ice cream stand, that's what they give you. It's incredible.
It's good? Sweet potato custard?
Yeah, custard. Yeah, it was amazing.
Interesting choice.
And the city itself was marvelous. Vienna, Austria, Paul, is the most livable city in the world, this says.
Vienna, Austria. Nah, I wouldn't want to live there.
Do they have golf courses?
But Austria, isn't there climate?
What's like, wrong with their climate?
Isn't there winter there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there is. Of course, it's Austria.
I'm not trying to live in winter.
Yeah, me neither.
You know what I mean?
I agree with you there.
He's trying to live near the equator where it's always warm.
Who's going to represent the Pirates in the All-Star game? Who do you think will, not who should? How many? I mean, they stunk last year, and they had two guys, Bednar and Keller.
They're getting two.
I think it's going to be Keller and Skeens.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think Reynolds is deserving. Who do you think will be there, Paul?
Keller, definitely. Keller, definitely. And Reynolds. Keller and Reynolds is who I say.
Man, that would be tough. If you're the commissioner has the latitude to say, literally, on a bunch of choices, it's called the commissioner's choice. He can say, you better pick Paul Skeens, and if I were him, I would. You don't think, Paul?
Skeens, I think that he will if, I don't know. I think the Pirates have a winning record, but I don't know if he's going to add a third Pirate if they have a losing record still at the All-Star
break.
No,
they won't.
You know what I mean?
But if there's a third deserving, Colin Holderman has to be in the All-Star. He is deserving. Now, will he get there? No. But he's allowed, what, 5 runs in over 30-plus innings? 1.16 ERA? He's been one of the best relievers in all of baseball. He's deserving. He won't get in.
Right.
He can make a case for sure. All right, top of the hour, what you've all been waiting for. An entire nation, perhaps an entire universe. Yes, City Limits, they're waiting for this on Uranus. The quiz show is back. It actually returned last week to mixed reviews, as I recall, right? Weren't some texters attacking us?
Yeah, they said that we did not do the quiz show correctly or properly.
Well, I thought it was fun. It was me, Paul, and Bob, and we're going to give it another shot here. Me against Paul, Paul against me.